this time on the K-League United podcast. It's a new year and a new competition on the horizon as we look ahead to the Asian Cup. Joined by K-League United's very own Korean national team columnists, we give a full preview of Paolo Bento's 23-man South Korea squad, assessing their strengths and weaknesses before making our predictions for the tournament. We also take a look at a mailbag filled with concern for an absent Lee Sung-woo, among other queries. All this and more on this edition of the K-League United podcast. Hello, annyeonghaseyo. Welcome to the K-League United podcast. I'm your host for today, Matthew Binns. No Paul Nee or Ryan Walters today as they recover from the holiday celebrations, but fortunately you're in capable hands as we have both our K-League United Korean national team columnists joining us to help preview the Asian Cup. Joining us from the other side of Seoul's Han River is Steve Price. Happy New Year, Steve.
Happy New Year. Hope you're having a good one.
I am indeed. I hope you are as well.
Yeah.
And also joining us from Gimje in Jeollabuk-do province is Peter Hampshire. Happy New Year, Peter.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. Happy New Year. It is a couple of degrees warmer, I think, down in Gimje.
I bet it is. It is absolutely freezing up here in Seoul.
It couldn't be any colder here.
how was your holidays, Peter?
Oh, absolutely lovely. I mean, 6 points for Barnsley. What more do you need? that's how you judge a holiday, right? How many points you get over the winter season.
That's true indeed. For those of you who follow Peter on Twitter, you will have also noted he's become the number one supplier for Yorkshire puddings in the quiet town of Gimje. Anyway, and of course, Happy New Year to you, listener, from wherever you may be tuning in. Today, we're putting 2018 firmly behind us and turning our attention to the first tournament of the year, the Asian Cup. Steve, how are you feeling about this tournament?
I'm quite excited, apart from like some of the games, the time difference is a bit difficult to go and to watch them on TV. I nearly decided to go over the UAE to watch it, but it seemed a bit too expensive, so I didn't in the end.
Oh, that's a pity. Yeah, the time differences are not too favourable. I mean, two of the three group matches are definitely doable. Peter, are you excited about the upcoming competition?
Yeah, someone was also trying to convince me to go over to UAE, but I bottled it in the end. I'll be in Australia for the end of the tournament, so that could be interesting if Korea play Australia again in the latter stages. And yeah, excited researching this for this podcast here. Really gets you buzzing for the tournament. How about yourself?
Yeah. Oh, I'm glad to get back to some football. You know, I was done with it a few weeks ago after the Seoul Busan game. I was happy for the break, but just give me a few weeks off and I'm itching to get going again, to be honest. So let's get started, shall we? Peter, as you've heard, has been doing a bit of research for us. He's just going to give us a brief history of Korea in Asian Cup.
Yeah, well, Korea haven't won it since 1960, unfortunately, when they won two in a row, beating Israel both times. And then since then, it's been a steady improvement, I guess you could say. Runner-up four times, and obviously last time out down in Australia, that defeat in extra time. Mm-hmm. Mati Luongo strike. So hopefully, a steady build. 2004, lost in the quarters. 2007... lost in the semis on penalties to Iraq, and again 2011 on penalties to Japan after a 120th minute equaliser. So hopefully we're going to see that improvement and Korea can be victorious for the first time in around, what we're saying, half a century.
Yeah, 58 years of hurt I've got written down here. Yeah. So, excellent. So on today's episode, we're going to go through the 23-man squad that have been picked for South Korea and that are heading to the United Arab Emirates for this tournament. And we're going to run down the names and highlight our key picks from each area of the side. And we're going to then move on to the biggest strengths, biggest weaknesses we think for South Korea before making fools of ourselves with a prediction, gentlemen. We also have a mailbag coming up as well, so please stick around for that, listener. So we'll jump straight into the squad. We're going to take each area. We're going to start with the manager, and then we're going to work from the back and go to the front, goalkeepers all the way up to attackers. Going to go for the manager. I'm going to lead in on this one. I'm going to talk about Paolo Bento, the recently appointed manager for South Korea. He followed the reign of Shin Tae-yong in the summer, whose contract expired after the World Cup and the KFA chose not to renew. He was brought in from Chinese Super League's Chongqing Lifan, who where he had an underwhelming 6 month stint, winning just 4 in his 14 matches in charge. Prior to that, he was at Olympiacos in a season where they had 5 managers. But what he has been picked for, I think anyway, is his national team experience. He was in charge of Portugal for 4 years from September 2010 to 2014, taking them to 2 major tournaments. In Euro 2012, he took Portugal all the way to the semi-finals before losing on penalties to Spain. And then, unfortunately, had a bit of a disastrous World Cup in 2014 where they didn't make it out of the group stages, missing out on goal difference to America. As for his managerial stint in charge of Korea, at the time of recording, he's taken charge of 6 friendlies, winning 3 and drawing 3. He's picked up wins against Costa Rica, Uruguay and Uzbekistan, as well as drawing against Chile, Panama and Australia. Tactically, he prefers a 4-man back line with a 5-man midfield and a lone striker, usually in a 4-2-3-1 formation from what we've seen of him so far. He plays with an attacking emphasis on the most part, and his career side at least, seem to be very quick to press when they lose the ball. Tends to use the wing backs to overlap and expects his midfielders out on the flanks to cut inside and shoot. And he's also, his picks have been quite interesting in the sense that he's capitalized on the Asian Games win and has included a lot of youth in his selections. Steve, without going into too much detail and getting you into trouble for things, what was your take on Paulo Bento being put in charge of the team?
Yeah, so it's quite interesting. When he was hired, you saw a lot of people who kind of, I think, a bit lazily just looked at his time in China and kind of wrote him off. Mm-hmm. For me, when it comes to China, it's kind of a roll of the dice whether a manager is going to be good there or bad there, because there's so many kind of factors out of their control.
Definitely.
Random suspensions for like 10 games for like spitting or something like that. Or you can only have a few foreign players, and then the rest of the Chinese players, it's really hard to bring in the players you want and things like that. But when you look at the rest of his career at Olympiacos, Portugal and Sporting, then that makes up pretty much all of his career apart from like 30 games or so. And at all of those clubs, he was very, very successful in terms of the results he got, the number of matches he won. And the only thing when I was looking at him is in his early career, he was a bit defensive, and Korea wants to have a more attacking manager. But as he's come in, he's kind of listened to like the comments, like he's being brought in here to try and play more attacking football, and he seems to have done that in the first 6 games.
Yeah, very much so. I mean, it's almost a completely different to what we've seen under Shin Tae-yong. The caution has been thrown out the window, I'd say, in these last 6 games. I mean, they are friendlies, but that's all we can judge him on. And what I've seen so far has been quite attack-minded. Peter, do you have any thoughts on the appointment of Paulo Bento?
His honeymoon period seems to have been going for months. He hasn't had much criticism, has he, in the local press? It's been a great start for him. I guess you'd a new manager, you'd judge him on the games against Uruguay and Chile, really difficult games on paper, and like you said, it was just shackles off and go for it. Really entertaining to watch, and I'm sure against the lesser teams in the Asian Cup, it'll be completely all out attack, and hopefully he's got that nous at the back to stop the better teams.
Well, yeah, and speaking of at the back, we're going to start now with goalkeepers. Peter, would you like to run us through the 3 goalkeepers selected for this 23-man squad?
Yeah, we've got Kim Sung-gyu of Vissel Kobe and Cho Hyun-woo, obviously, from the K-League at Daegu, who's had a fantastic domestic season. And the other one is Kim Jin-hyun, who was in net for the last Asian Cup final in Australia. I'd say, looking at it, Bento's been rotating between Kim Sung-gyu and Cho Hyun-woo in the last few friendlies, and I don't know what you lads think, but it'd be between those two for the number one berth. Mm-hmm. And who do you fancy to be chosen as the number one?
I'll let Steve give his answer first, and I'll probably back him up.
I think when you've seen Bento's kind of lineups in the friendlies, he's been trying to see what everybody can bring to the squads, and he's tried all the players, but I reckon he's going to go for Cho Hyun-woo as his goalkeeper throughout this tournament, as the number one choice.
Cho hasn't been on he's not been on the losing side since early October, Cho, for Daegu or Korea. And when I was looking through Vissel's recent results, they've conceded a lot, so confidence might not be that high. And he actually got dropped for their last couple of games at Vissel Kobe, which is, they've obviously signed some high-profile players, but they've got one of the worst defences in the J-League this season.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd agree with that. I reckon Cho will be the first choice.
Yeah, I think I'd probably agree with you all. Cho Hyun-ho is, I personally believe, the best of the three keepers, but Kim Sung-yu has started the most for Bento, as you've kind of touched on. He's got three appearances out of the six games. In the J-League, he's got 9 clean sheets in 30 J-League appearances, but prior to the World Cup, he had 6 clean sheets in 15 appearances, which kind of, I know it's just a small factor, but it does look like the form has dropped off of Vissel Kobe. And if you look at their results in the J-League, it kind of matches that. Yeah, he was the outright number one prior to the World Cup, but that fantastic campaign from Cho Hyun-ho in Russia is put a cat amongst the pigeons, so to speak. I do believe Cho Hyun-ho is probably the better keeper for this.
So he's got the momentum as well, hasn't he? He's had a great end to the season with Daegu. He's a personality on and off the pitch. So,
yep. All right, well then, moving on from the goalkeepers, we go into the defence. And Peter, you're going to also lead us through the defence here. You've got the goalkeeper defensive package.
Yeah, I've got the full lot at the back, the full back five. We've got in the squad announced, we've got Kim Young-kwon of Guangzhou Evergrande, Jung Sung-hyun of Kashima Antlers, Kwon Kyung-won, Tanjin Kwanjian. I'll leave you for the Chinese pronunciation,
Matt. Tianjin Chunjin. Tianjin.
We've got a hat-trick of Jeonbuk defenders. We've got Kim Min-jae, Lee Young, and surprisingly, Kim Jin-soo, who's just come back from injury. And then Hong Chul of Suwon Blue Wings, and a bit of an outfield choice, perhaps, if you're not a regular follower of Korean football, Kim Won-kwan of Busan I-Park.
Okay, yeah, and who are your key talents to watch there in the back line?
Well, obviously, I watch a lot of Busan games, so the lad I just mentioned, Kim Won-kwan, I'm hoping he gets given some chances by Bento to impress. You could just as easily put him in the midfield package, to be fair, because he's such an attacking fullback, a right winger on his, if they fancy playing him there, really. I don't know about you lads, but you'd expect Kim Young-kwon to be first choice, and he's been playing a lot of Bento's friendlies alongside Jung Sung-hyun. For the first two games, I'd put Kim Min-jae in there if it was me, and then Hong Chul, he's got to be first choice left back, especially with Kim Jun-soo only playing 3 or 4 games since that long-term injury.
Yeah, how are you seeing this defence, Steve?
Yeah, so, I mean, because Jang Hyun-soo got his career ended earlier in the season, it's a really big opportunity for somebody else to take that spot next to Kim Young-kwon. So it's going to be interesting to see which player ends up getting that for this tournament. I'm looking forward to seeing a bit more of Kim Min-jae in the national team as well, because so far he seems like he's impressed, and hopefully if he can impress, he can maybe get that move to Europe rather than, you know, going to China like the rumours are suggesting.
Yeah, rumours that have got me having sleepless nights as a Jeonbuk supporter. I understand why he's wanted by the Tianjin Chunjin and Beijing Guoan in China at the moment. But yeah, this is a perfect chance for him to showcase his talent. And like you said, Jang Hyun-soo being banned for forging his community service probably gives Kim Min-jae the perfect stage. I've unsurprisingly opted for another Jeonbuk player in that back line. I've opted for Lee Young. Now, this kind of, it conflicts with Peter a bit, because Lee Young is also a right back, but he's been in superb league form this year. He is one of the oldest players in the squad, admittedly, but he was nominated for the K-League 1 MVP. 11 assists in the league, most tackles, fourth highest interceptions, most crosses, third highest key passes for the K-League this year. I mean, I think in the past he's taken a bit of criticism when he's worn the Korean jersey, and sometimes unfairly, sometimes justifiably, but I still think he's the best option at right back. I do like Kim Min-jae, and I do see where you're coming from, Peter, but I think For me, Kim Min-hwan is probably going to be more of a reserve. But yeah, maybe he will get some game time, especially in these early group games.
Yeah, I think in the early games, you should play Kim Min-hwan and just give Hee-young a rest, even though he hasn't, obviously. I know you don't give a rest at the start, but you've got to give Kim Min-hwan a chance to shine and then more experience for the latter stages where you'd hope we'll qualify.
Yeah, you've got to see also Hee-young's he's kind of there like for now, but he's not going to be there in the World Cup. He'll be too old by then. So I think there's a bit of like seeing who's going to replace him as well.
Yeah, and I think that's one thing Bento has done well. He's kind of capitalised on that Asian Cup form, and he's taken a lot of those talents that we saw in the Asian Cups and he's brought them straight into this national team. And with a four-year cycle to the next World Cup, hopefully these talents will start developing in. But yeah, I think I agree. Hee-young for now, but Kim Min-hwan is certainly one for the future. So moving further up the pitch, we move into the midfield, and Steve is going to run through us the large list of selections. Now, just before I let Steve give you the rundown on those, these are where the KFA have selected these players and have registered them as. You may think that some of these are forwards, listener. Well, we're going to go with what the KFA says on this one. So, Steve, could you talk us through the midfield for Korea?
Yeah, and I think quite a few of these are forwards as well. Let's start with the midfield. Yeah. We've got Ki Sung Young from Newcastle. He's coming in. He's having a really good season at Newcastle at the moment.
He is.
I think the stats are they haven't lost a game when he's been in the squad, at least in the league, as far as I'm aware. Next, we have Jong Woo Young from Al Sadd. He played for Kobe and then he moved to Al Sadd in the summer. And he's kind of a bit of an underrated player in that midfield. Ku Jae Chol from Augsburg. He's doing okay in the Bundesliga this season. All those three players are 29, so they're going to be, this could be their last kind of tournament appearance. Maybe they'll be there for the World Cup, maybe not. Next, we have a younger player, Hwang In-bom, who really impressed at the Asian Games. He's been linked to clubs in Germany and the US recently. We've got Ju Sejong from Asan Mugunghwa, and he's been trusted again. I've got Hwang In-chan here listed as a midfielder, surprisingly.
That is a surprise.
Yeah, the number of goals he's scored for Hamburg this season, he'll probably be glad he's not listed as a striker. He's only scored twice in 14 for them, but they are the lowest going sides in the Bundesliga 2, like in the top half of the Bundesliga 2. We've got EJ Song, also in the Bundesliga 2, playing for Holstein Kiel. He's having a really good season for them. And the third Bundesliga 2 player, we've got Lee Jung-young, who's finally playing some games again. So it's good to see him actually back playing football. We've then got Na Sang-ho from Gwangju. And he had a great season last season in the K2. He's definitely one for the future. You can see how he performs at the Asian Games. That's probably why he got that call-up. And then, of course, we've got Son Heung-min, who will be missing the first two games. But he's been on fire for Spurs over the last few weeks. So hopefully he can bring that form into the Asian Cup. So we've only got two forwards listed. Hwang Hee-jo, who, for me, he's one of the players to really look out for, because before the Asian Games, a lot of people were really criticising his selection, and some people were even calling it things like nepotism and stuff like that. And some quite senior people, not just your average netizens or anything like that, but quite senior people were saying that about him. But he's had a great season. He's a third top scorer in the J-League last season with 16 goals. He was in the J-League Best 11. He was the KFA Footballer of the Year. And he was the top scorer at the Asian Cup. And he's been really, really impressive over the last 6 months. So hopefully he'll manage to continue that in the Asian Cup. And as well as him, we've got Ji Dong Won up front. He's there from Augsburg as well, one of the two guys from Augsburg. He had a bit of a ligament injury earlier in the season. So hopefully he's all fixed and all ready to play at his best.
Yeah, as we were kind of talking about Bento, it is mostly attacking talent there. There are a couple of defensive midfielders, but it is very much with an attacking emphasis. For you, Steve, how do you see, if you were choosing the best midfield and strike force combo out of those players, who would you be looking to play?
I guess it depends on the formation, but I'm guessing they're going to go 4-2-3-1 as a formation. I have probably Hwang Hee-jo up front on his own. Rotating him and Ji Dong Won over the two, like every other game or something like that, so they're nice and fit, or bring them off the bench. So he's got some options there. And then have Son just in behind him. And then I reckon he'll probably try and start with Hwang Hee-chan to give them a bit more pace. And also stick in EJ Song there as like one of the other attacking players, maybe. And they've been a bit unlucky with injuries, because the guy who normally plays number 10, we've got Kwon Jung-hoon's been injured, and then Nam Tae-hee, he's also been injured as well. And it's kind of lucky there's a lot of attacking players coming through at the moment, because you look at that squad and you don't really notice there's any players missing.
No, it's true. I mean, for me personally, Nam Tae-hee is the biggest question mark about that midfield. He's featured in all six games, started all six games for Bento until he got injured in that last friendly. And it's trying to find that player that had fit into his role without upsetting the rhythm too much. I mean, for me, I was going to go a bit left field and also meet our Daejeon Citizen quota and mention Hwang In-bom. I mean, he's only started twice under Bento, but one has been in the AM role. And it's been a big year for him. First of all, he had a good half a season at Asan, where he played with some good names, and he earned military exemption at the Asian Games, went back to Daejeon, helped in their playoff push. And yeah, I think he's benefited from playing with those names at Asan and also playing a different style. And then he came back to a new look Daejeon side, which has also helped utilize his talent. And I quite like him for his quick decision making and his ability to pick out a pass and bring the ball forward. So for me, that's who I hope to see. But as we've kind of said, he's more of a young player. I don't know whether he's going to be starting, but I certainly hope to see if he can have a bit of influence off the bench. Peter, is there anyone?
Yeah, I love him. I love Hwang In-bom. Like, he never loses the ball there. And we know what players like Lee Chung-young and EJ Sung are all about. So why not? Mm-hmm. Why not give him a go in these early games and see if he can cement his place and get some confidence and carry it on? You touched on Ki Sung-young before at Newcastle. He's having a bit of a renaissance up there, isn't he, on St. James's Park? The fans absolutely love him, and he's key to Rafa's side up there.
Yeah, and listeners will surely be getting quite frustrated at the fact we've not mentioned Son Heung-min to a great extent, considering.
Do we need to? Everybody knows Son, everybody knows what he can do. His goals are on highlight channels all day long. Everybody knows how great he is.
He probably deserves his own category, to be fair. He's had seven goals in December for Spurs. And yeah, he's been playing out on the left for Bento, actually, where Shin Tae-yong was playing him up front during the World Cup. And I think he's been playing better under Bento. He's been playing a lot better since he's had this weight lifted of military exemption off him. And he's also been anointed captain, which, you know, he's unbeaten.
I think there's
as captain.
Yeah, one interesting thing Bento's been doing is he's been trying to set up his system to get the most out of him, because a lot of criticism for him and for the national team has been that he doesn't do as well for the national team as he does for Spurs. Mm-hmm. But of course, the way the national team and the way Spurs play are very different. So it's all a bit, especially against when I was watching Chile, Korea would do this thing where they're passing it around at the back, but trying to draw the other team into pressing them. Mm-hmm. It's something which you see like Sarri do that for Chelsea, and he gets a lot of credit for that. But Bento's been doing this a bit for Korea in some of those games, like against Chile. And then after that, they kind of can break quickly and get Son in a bit of space. And it really could be really effective in the Asian Cup, especially against some of the teams which are going to try and put 10 guys behind the ball in some of their games and not give them space.
Yeah, I mean, he's been a fantastic talent this season. I am actually going to touch on Son Heung-min slightly in the next segment, but first I think we'll cut to a quick break, and then after the break we're going to go through the strengths and weaknesses of this squad, as well as put ourselves on the line and make a prediction of how they will fare. Don't go anywhere.
Looking to spend some downtime with friends and fellow gamers in Seoul? Drop by Retro Game Bar. Located in Hongdae near Sangsu Station Exit 1, RGB is a retro game-inspired bar where you can play any and all types of games. Test their bartenders' drink mixing capabilities or watch a game cast of your choosing. For those with a competitive side, sign up for monthly tournaments including Tekken, Mario Kart and K-League United's FIFA 19 competitions. Follow RGB on Facebook for tournament info and details on other events throughout the month. Mention that you're a fan of K-League United to their hard-working bartenders when you stop by for a starter shot to kick off the evening. Game on!
Hello, welcome back to the K-League United podcast. I'm your host, Matthew Binns, and I'm joined with Steve Price.
Hey, how's it going?
And I'm joined with Peter Hampshire.
Afternoon, Matt and Steve. How are we doing?
I'm good, thanks. Good, thanks. As you know, we are going through this squad. We've just gone through all the players in this South Korean squad for the Asian Games. Now we're going to move on to the areas of weakness and strengths, and we're going to make some predictions as well of how we think they will do. Now, when I did this with Ryan and Paul, we ended on a weakness, and it felt we're ending on a bit of a sour note. So I'm going to start with the weaknesses this time. Are there any weaknesses in this squad as a whole which you think other teams may look to exploit? I'll ask Steve, what do you think?
They're one of the strongest squads in the Asian Cup, and we'll talk about that later, some of the teams who are also very strong. I think just because it isn't the thing I'm going to choose for their strength, I'm going to have to say their defence is probably the weakness. Especially with Jang Hyun-soo, like, he was played a lot, and then he's not able to play now. And so Benta hasn't had a huge amount of games with his choice of defenders to really get the defenders he's got available to him now playing with each other all the time.
Mm.
And so even though it seems a bit strange, especially given Benta's comments that fixing the defence is much easier than fixing the attack, that actually I think that could be a slight weakness for the Korean team.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at left back, if Hong Chul gets an injury or he's not up to playing three games in a week, etc., then you're relying on Kim Jin-soo, who's been out since, what was it, April or something?
Yeah.
So that could be a potential downfall.
Yeah, it's a more fragile back line than you think, which, given our comments are saying how strong some of those players were, is slightly surprising. But yeah, you are right, Steve. There hasn't been much time for Bento to cement his back four. Peter, do you have any weaknesses you'd like to point out?
Yeah, I mean, we haven't got a natural... I know we've got Hwang Hee-jo, who's been on good form for the national team, but if we need to mix it up, have we got that other dimension up front, like a bustling number nine, no Son for the first two games?
Mm-hmm.
But I'm obviously looking at the... squads in the Asian Cup, we've got fabulous attacking talent. It's just if we need to break down those teams like Philippines, Kyrgyzstan, that are going to put 11 behind the ball, can we mix it up? But that's where the youth comes into play, I think. I think that's where the youth comes in. I've got to mention Na Sang-ho, haven't I, being the Gwangju correspondent. That's where the exuberance of youth, I think, may shine through. And Bento will have to use his substitutes wisely. Because it's going to be frustrating, I'm sure. So many games in such a small amount of time. You can't play fluid attacking football every game. You can't expect that. So substitute is going to be very important. Hopefully we've got that strength in depth.
Yeah, squad management will be key for Bento, especially going through this group stage. I mean, he has got some, with no disrespect to Kazakhstan and the Philippines, he has got opponents that Korea are expected to beat with a bit of ease, so he has got that opportunity to rotate a bit. For me now, given Steve's comments just before the break, I don't know whether I want to put this as a weakness now, but my weakness and my strength are the same thing, and I chose Son Heung-min. And I'll cheat a little bit. I'll say why he's a strength before I'll say why he's a weakness, and that's because a happy Son is a deadly Son. He is one of, if not the best Asian player in the world at present, and he's forged himself into one of England's, English Premier League star talents. He's endeared himself to the Spurs supporters and even neutral fans alike. He's got 10 goals and 17 appearances. Yeah, 10 goals in 17 appearances over all competitions this season, plus 3 assists. And yeah, Korea remain unbeaten with him as captain. And although I'm not sure that means as much as people think, I hope this run continues. The reason why I put him as the weakness, though, is kind of what we've already touched on. In the past, especially, there's always a lot of over-reliance on him to perform. And I think he also put a lot of pressure on himself. It was a pressure on him to deliver, but he also had that military exemption hanging over him. And it just seemed that he'd squander a lot more chances than he'd convert. But yeah, Bento has capitalized on the stellar form of Hwang Hee-joo, and it's kind of taken some of the pressure off Son to be the main outlet, in my opinion. And now the Korean team is no longer reliant on Son. I think both Korea and Son Heung-min could stand to benefit from this. So it's a bit of a cheat, I know, because it's ridiculous to call him a weakness, but there has been times in the past where he's failed to show, I think. Yeah. Yeah, I think this new management, new tactics, and other players taking the mantle will help him out a bit.
I think there's another weakness which has turned into a strength because of Son, and that's going to be Son's absence in the first two games, because mm-hmm. that forces like a lot of the problems when he was playing is the teams, Korea just looked at him and hoped he'd do it all for them, and then the other team just has to double mark him, and then it kind of ruined Korea's attacking creativity. But for the first two games, he's not in the squad. And also, a lot of these players have played without him in the Asian games. So I think that's a bit of a... It sounds like a weakness that he's not in the squad for the first two games. I think that could be a strength for Korea because it allows him to play and be creative and score goals without him.
That's a very good point. And the recent two friendlies against Australia and Uzbekistan, Son Heung-min did not join the squad for those games as part of the agreement with Tottenham and the Korean Football Association. And Korea looked deadly against Uzbekistan, and there was no Son Heung-min in the team to blind them. It was, younger talent coming to the fore. So, yeah, I think that's a very good point. It is a weakness that could become a strength.
You can almost liken it to when Barnsley have to play without Kiefer Moore. It's just like when you've lost that talisman, sometimes you play better without them, you know?
I think that
it is good back home to see him finally get some recognition, isn't it? His film has been perennially underrated. And now he's almost become... Everyone's so often saying he's underrated that he's almost overrated back home now.
Yeah, he's the most overrated, underrated player in the Premier League at present, I think. Carrying on with the strengths of this Korean side, Peter, have you chosen any alternative strengths for South Korea?
I just think the core. I think if you look at the fullbacks, that's where we haven't got, you know, two strong players in each position. We're relying on K-League two players as backups. But if you look at the core, whatever keeper he chooses, and then if straight down the middle, Key and Son, I don't think any other squad can match that in the Asian Cup this time round. Obviously not counting our chickens. So I'd say that.
And Steve, any extra strengths you'd like to add?
I think generally Korea's attack is probably the strongest out of any team in this tournament. Like their attacking options they've got, they look really strong. I thought it was quite interesting... some of the players who didn't get called up in attack, Moon Son Min, for example, and mm-hmm. Kim Shin-hee, kind of suggests the approach like they want to take when they're playing against these sides. Without Kim Shin-hee, you feel like it's they're not going to just be trying to lob the ball into the box, which is where defenses like Iran, if you remember back to World Cup qualifying,
that approach doesn't work. I often wake up dreaming of still watching those games.
I've seen the national team ever play. So you can see I think they're trying to change their approach to attacking because they know they're just pumping the ball into the box against strong defences like Iran is not going to really work. So they've picked players who are a bit more technical, a bit more creative, and hopefully can find a way through and get a goal in a different way.
Yeah, well, I think they're all fair strengths. I think there's a lot more strengths than weaknesses in this squad on the whole. So I'm going to ask you now to both give me a prediction. Steve, how do you see Korea finishing this competition?
Well, I think they're going to do pretty well. I mean, they always generally get to the semi-finals or so, at least in this competition. But for me, Iran are still the strongest sides in this competition, and they're completely on form. They've only lost one game since the last one competitive game since the last Asian Cup, and that was of course to Spain. So they're a very tough side to beat. So if I had to predict a winner of the tournament, I'd still say Iran. Korea will, in that case, get as far as the match against Iran, and that's going to be the stage which I'd predict them to maybe not be able to get further than.
Yeah, that's a fair enough prediction. Peter, how about yourself?
Yeah, as far as our expected rivals in the latter stages are concerned, I also wrote down Iran this morning as my team to win it. I'm not sure with the permutations of the draw whether we can meet, whether it's likely we'll meet Iran in the final or not. I think Australia will have a poor tournament. I'm going there next month. Watching a few of their friendly games. Yeah, and it'll be just typical if they're not in the final when I'm in the country. So I'm sure they'll go out in the group stages and that. Korea, yeah, final four. I'm quietly confident about that.
Yeah.
Hopefully we can push on one further than the last few tournaments. I would love to be in Australia for a Korea Australia final and just take my flag round and see what happens.
The Korean flag or the Barnsley flag?
Well, I've got both on my wall as we speak. I'm sat next to a Yorkshire flag and a Korean flag right now. I'll be taking both of them.
Fantastic. Well, for me, I'm gonna go one better than you both because I'm still in the holiday cheer. I'm gonna say Korea's gonna win it. For me, I think their time is now. Like, everything has begun falling into place. Like, their ultimately meaningless victory against Germany, it's kind of recaptured a bit of interest from the nation. And their Asian Games run shortly after kind of cemented it. I think they're undefeated in friendlies since. And a new manager that has seen them play some exciting football has let them off the leash a bit. And nearly all the players are made up of nearly all under 30. They're all kind of around those peak age years of 25 to 28, as well as those young talents coming through that are going to be bled to this tournament. I want a victory because I think it could further reignite interest in football within this country. And I think you both make very good cases for Iran. And I do think Iran are going to be one of, if not the strongest team there. But I just, hope. Hope is making me want to predict Korea with their talented squad. So to end 58 years of hurt, it's going to come home.
I think one positive is that it's not being hosted in one of the, you know, the favourites countries. So that could be a good for Korea. Whereas in 2015, you know, you're playing in Australia in the final against them. Mm. They're always going to have that boost, aren't they? Home team advantage.
That's true. And Steve, you were going to say something?
Yeah, I think they've been, after previous matches against Iran, they've really looked at how to beat them and selected a squad that will have the best chance of breaking down that Iranian defence as possible. So I think they've definitely approached this looking to be able to beat Iran later on in the tournament when they've made a squad selection a bit.
Yeah, I think it's possibly one of the best chances Korea's going to have. Anyway, that's enough about our predictions. We're going to be coming back after the break with your questions from the mailbag, so don't go anywhere.
Fans, we want to hear from you. You're encouraged to email KLU at info@kleagueunited.com or tweet at @KLeagueUnited with any questions, comments or reactions. Or follow us on Facebook to ask directly during one of our live shows.
Hello and welcome back to the K-League United podcast. I'm your host Matthew Binns and I'm joined by Steve Price.
Hey, how's it going?
And I'm joined by Peter Hampshire.
Afternoon from Gimji.
And
how are we doing?
All the way down from the small town of Gimji in Jolobukto.
Yeah, we've got plenty going for us down here. Don't be besmirching Gimji's reputation.
I wouldn't dream of it. so if you've been listening to the podcast, we've been going through the Korean squad. We've been going through the strengths and weaknesses, and we gave our bold predictions. But what we didn't touch on was the Group C fixtures. Now, Korea will start their campaign on Monday, the 7th of January, and they'll be versing the Philippines at 5:30 local time or 10:30 p.m. if you're watching in Korea. They will follow that up on Friday, Friday the 11th against Kazakhstan, playing at 8 o'clock local time or 1 a.m. if you're in Korea, 1 a.m. Saturday morning. I'm sure that'll be a good night out. And finally, their final group match will see them go up against the People's Republic of China on Wednesday the 16th of January. This is also at 5:30 local time or 10:30 p.m. in Korea. We touched a lot on Korea, but I just want to kind of just go through the group, how they're going to approach this. So, Steve, first off, what do you make of the group as a whole, and who do you think is going to cause a slight headache for Korea?
I think Korea, they caught a bit of a break here because Philippines, they've got, of course, a Premier League goalkeeper, Neil Lethbridge, in goal.
Oh, yes.
And just before the tournament, there was rumours he was only going to play one match in this tournament, and that was going to be against Korea. So I could see a situation where everything would go wrong and Korea would have 100 shots and they'd all be saved or hit the bar and it would be 0-0 and start the tournament on a very kind of bad, a really bad start to the tournament. But luckily for Korea, he's not going to play any games for the tournament. So the Philippines won't have him in goal. Oh. And also their second and third choice goalkeepers are kind of recovering from injury, so could get really lucky and end up with their fourth choice goalkeeper.
Yeah, and I'll throw the question over to you, Peter. Are you looking at the Group C fixtures? How are you seeing it playing out?
Yeah, I think we have ended up with one of the easiest groups. I mean, I'm doing the preview for the Philippines, so I've been immersing myself in Philippines football. And yeah, the foreign press is dominated by the Everidge situation. He was a top keeper. He's come really impressed in the Premier League this year. You never know, first games in tournaments, Philippines were going all out, weren't they? So I'm backing that one to be the most difficult of the three, actually. Some young fourth-choice keeper might pull out some wonder saves and make a name for himself.
Might quickly be signed up by, well, I suppose the J-League, because the K-League can't be signing foreign keepers after all. For me, I mean, yeah, that's a very good shout. I do think Philippines could be a potential banana skin as the first fixture, you know, those opening fixtures, teams do go all out. I've gone for the obvious. I've chosen China as to be the trickiest one, especially if qualification is still on the line come that final game. Hopefully it won't be, but
The third place team, like the third place team, also generally gets through the group. So if it's if it's in doubt by that point, it'll be a bit worrying.
I was thinking more of a favourable route, but who knows? We might copy England's path and try and finish second and take an easier route to the final. But China, probably obviously the highest ranked team out of those three and potential to be the trickiest fixture, though they do have the older squad at the tournament, so I'm not sure Korea should be too concerned. And as well, as you've just said, Steve, that qualification isn't as difficult as it has been in previous iterations.
Oldest squad and oldest player of the tournament as well. And
that's right.
I think it's a very different situation from when Korea went to China in the qualification under Stilike and lost 1-0. China had the host advantage then at home. They had a really hostile atmosphere. Mm. The Korean players were kind of sleep deprived because they were kept up all night by Chinese fans outside. And that win for China was seen as such a big victory then that outside one of the cities, they made a little kind of big plaque celebrating that victory. So I think it's a very different situation from some of the previous games we have played China against.
Mm, that is true. That is true. If only we had brought Lee Dong-guk, then Korea could have claimed the oldest player at the tournament. But alas, it wasn't to be, despite his goal-scoring efforts this season. But, you know, never know next year. That's what we see.
One more year.
There's always one more year with Lee Dong-guk. I swear they do it for shirt sales. I've bought his shirt every year thinking he's going to retire. It's going to be his final season. And then he signs another contract. So that's me buying the Jeonbuk uniform for another season. But for full previews on these matches, both Peter and Steve will be doing in-depth previews on our website, kleagueunited.com. So please go over to our website in the build-up to these matches to get a more in-depth analysis on what to expect. As for now, we're going to move on to the mailbag. We have a few questions in today, and we had a very interesting one that we put out to you, the listeners, to vote on. And we're going to start with that one. This was a question that came in via email from Michael Lee, and it just simply read, "Is Bento right to have not included Lee Sung-woo?" Now, we put this to a poll on Facebook. 77% said yes and 23% said no. So Facebook, big bento lovers or anti Isongu, you know, if you prefer. Twitter, yeah. It was a lot more tightly contested. 56% of the vote said yes and 44% of the vote said no. I just thought I'd pitch it to you. I mean, Isongu obviously is a young talent. He was a surprise inclusion in the World Cup. He had a decent enough Asian Games, yet has been left out the fold for this competition. I'll start with you, Steve. What do you think about this decision?
I think Bento is 100% correct. Mm-hmm. Isongu has only played 600 minutes or so of football in his club career ever, as like in first team games.
Yeah.
And if you compare that to the other young players around, you've got players like Cho Yong-yu, who didn't make the side in the end. He's played over 2,000 minutes. You've got Wang Yinbom and Na Sung-ho, they've played over 4,000 minutes each.
Hmm.
So I think he needs another year or two, and he needs to be playing in that his own side week in, week out. He's broken into the team now. He's been playing a few games recently. So I think it's better for his career. It's a win for him to stay there and play every single game and get better and better and better. And also, I don't think it's right for the national team to call him up at this time either. So I think it's kind of good for him and good for career that he's not included.
And Peter, what are your thoughts on Isongu?
Yeah, if you're looking at the squad list, if he was going to replace anyone, who would you say? Na Sung-ho, but he's top scorer in the second division in Korea, isn't he, Na Sung-ho? Yeah. So you've got to reward him for that kind of season down at Gwangju. I fully agree with Steve. Yeah, if he's not been playing regularly, why should he pip other players to the squad?
Yeah, I think I'm going to make it unanimous. I really wanted to find a reason why he should be in this squad, and he has got that talent, as we saw it at the World Cup. But when while he did prove me wrong at the World Cup, I still thought it was kind of more of a token gesture, Shin Tae-yong clutching at straws and just bringing up the unproven talent as a bit of a shock factor. He's fantastic and he's got a bright future ahead of him, I hope, in the Korean squad. But I don't think he should be playing when he's not playing for his club. It's just not fair on the other players that are putting in the performances.
I think it's also, for his club, it's a very big season for him. And because he didn't have a good first season at Verona, he wasn't getting played then. And this is the first time he's really had that chance. And he needs this season to be a really big season for him and for him to do really well. And so I think it's kind of important he's not in this squad just so he can have that the best season he can possibly have at Verona.
Yep, I think that's a very fair point. We had a couple of comments in as well on the poll, which I think just worth reading out. One in from David Yun saying he considers Lee a big game player for country, but he's yet to start consistently for his club, and says Bento used wise judgment to leave him out this time. Experience and form counts a lot more than flair and hype when it comes to winning tournaments. Yeah, I think I agree, David, with that. We had a comment coming from Cha Dong-ho on Facebook, and he was saying that Isongu is in a good condition and given recent matches deserves to come back to the national team. So he's given a slightly different opinion to us there. Not only the Asian Cup, but also the A matches to get more national team opportunities. Well, I mean, there are still people who agree with you, Dong-ho, on that one. And finally, we had
I guess you'd bring him in for that. Sorry, you'd bring him in for that unpredictability factor, wouldn't you? But we've got in the squad, there's so many young players have also got that in abundance. So.
Yeah, very true. And finally, there was one comment in from Dan Lavelle. He said, too many better options on the wings right now, but he will get his chance eventually. So, yeah, I think we've all kind of got the same opinion on that one, Michael. But thank you for your question. Next up, also, David Yun had sent in a question via Twitter, and it was regarding Son Heung-min. He said, realistically, Korea shouldn't struggle without Son for their group stage matches. So do you think it'd be better to rest him versus China to keep him fresh for the round of 16? And I'll hand this one to Peter.
I was thinking about this the other day, whether Son should play against China. And I reckon they should, because it's this year's Asian Cup's in the UAE, isn't it? So what's that, a nine-hour flight from London? Mm-hmm. He shouldn't be that jet-lagged from a nine-hour flight particularly. So, yeah, he's a man in form. Why not play your best players and showcase them? Maybe, obviously, take him off early or perhaps bring him on for the last half an hour. But yeah, definitely, I'd get him involved personally.
And how about you, Steve?
I'll take a slightly different opinion. I could see him coming off the bench and playing, 20 minutes or so at the end.
Hmm.
But I think he definitely shouldn't start. Korea should kind of rest him a bit, because Tottenham have had a really hectic schedule of games over Christmas, and then he's going to be coming here and he'll be playing this game almost straight off the flight. He'd only have like a day or so of rest beforehand, and then after that the games in the rest of this competition come kind of thick and fast. So I think giving him a game off to get his energy back and to be really refreshed could actually mean that in the final or semi-final, when he's needed to produce that magic, he's got the energy and he's totally fresh and he can do that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think that's what Bento will do, but I must be a slave driver. I'd get him straight involved.
I think it'll all depend on the situation in the group, but assuming that Korea are going to be looking at top of the group at the time and shouldn't really have any issues, I would probably look to rest him as well. But yeah, maybe they will need him. Maybe it'll all go wrong against the Philippines and Kazakhstan, and we'll be hoping for a desperate 3 points to get him straight off that plane, get those boots on. Final question before we head off is from Che Yun Sok. It came in through the email and it just said the biggest threat to Korea in this competition. Now, we've kind of touched on this, but I suppose we could also say biggest threat in terms of self-inflicted as well. So, Steve, biggest threat to Korea in this competition, I think you've already said, but...
Yeah, I mean, it's a good point you brought up about it being a self-inflicted threat. Yeah, you can see that kind of game where they just struggle to score. It happened against Malaysia in the Asian Games They just couldn't score at all and ended up losing that match. I think that would probably actually be the biggest threat, is something like that happening completely by surprise. When it comes to opposition, then I think Australia and Japan, they're kind of rebuilding a bit. So I think even though they'll be there and thereabouts, I think the biggest threat is still Iran by quite a long way. I think Saudi Arabia could be a bit of a dark horse for the tournament as well, because even though their results haven't been going good, they've been showing a bit of an interesting way of playing and a bit more kind of nice kind of passing and possession football. They could be an interesting team to watch. But for me, yeah, Iran are the big threat. They're tournament favourites by miles, in my opinion. And Korea, then probably the second favourites after them.
Yeah, anything to add, Peter, to that?
Yeah, and also if you get drawn against the host nation in a quarterfinal, then you never know, do you, in tournament football?
Mm.
You often see the hosts getting further than their collective ability that you'd expect. Perhaps United Arab Emirates will do the same. And also with the fanfare around Sun, maybe that'll take some concentration away from the identity of how Bento wants them to play. I mean, if they're playing without him and then suddenly he's popped up in the centre of midfield, it could be disruptive, perhaps.
Yeah, I think they're both very good points. I'm going to end the mailbag there, unfortunately, but thank you very much, gentlemen. So, as we've already touched on when and where to watch, Monday the 7th of January is the Philippines, Friday the 11th of January is Kazakhstan, and Wednesday the 16th of January is the People's Republic of China. As we mentioned earlier, please go back, please check our website for full previews of those matches in the upcoming days. As for the K-League United podcast, you can catch us on wherever you get your podcast, whether it be iTunes, Google Podcasts, Spotify, TuneIn Radio, or Stitcher. If there is one we've missed and we can't find us on it, please get in touch. If you like this episode, why not subscribe? And if you're listening via iTunes, why not even give us a review? You can find us all on social media platforms under K-League United, and you can contact us by info@kleagueunited.com. You can also catch the latest episode every week on Football Nation Radio down in Australia, airing every Thursday at 5 p.m. Sydney time or 3 p.m. for those in Korea. I'd like to once again thank our guest, Steve Price.
Yeah, thanks.
And thank Peter Hampshire for tuning in as well from Gimje.
Thank you. It sounded like you were getting a bit emotional there, Matt.
A little bit choked, I swear. It's this Seoul winter. You don't know it. You're down in the south with your 1 degree temperatures. So, have a good year, everyone. Have a happy 2019 and best of luck to Korea in the Asian Cup. Goodbye.